Rochester Speaks. I'm Pat Rivers. My guest is no stranger to infectious diseases. In fact, he spent his career in battling a major epidemic of which major strides have been made, and that is HIV. And now a new threat to gay men, in particular, monkeypox. What is it? And should we start heading for the hills? Here to dispel all the rumors and shed some light, Senior Vice President for Strategic Advancement, Chief of Innovation, co-founder, and staff physician at Trillium Health, Dr. Bill Valenti.
Thank you.
Doctor, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us here and talk about a growing concern. We'll touch on monkeypox here in just a moment, but first, the White Party returned. Your wonderful fundraiser after a two-year hiatus came back, and I heard it was quite the party.
It was. This is Trillium Health's eighth annual White Party fundraiser to end the HIV epidemic. White parties traditionally got their start 40 years ago at the beginning of the AIDS pandemic, where people came together with that theme to raise money for HIV/AIDS, because in those days we had no treatments. There's certainly no vaccine even yet. But the White Party is really an AIDS fundraising themed event.
And how did you do? How much money did you raise?
We did very well. We raised over $100,000.
Wow!
And what that speaks to me, tells me that this community supports what we're doing, and is a good community for these kinds of rallying events, because this is still an important public health issue and our community supports ending the epidemic. And we're really talking about that in serious terms now.
Now, is that your biggest fundraiser, the White Party?
Biggest fundraiser of the year,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so how did you manage during the COVID years? Because you didn't have it for 2 years. How was Trillium holding itself up?
Well, we continued to see patients because that's what we do. We do healthcare. And continued with a small skeleton crew in the office seeing patients. And many of us went to virtual telemedicine visits.
Oh, that's right.
That's how I saw my patients, in fact, still do. So the telemedicine thing really grew up during the COVID pandemic, and we continue to do that. We maintain services. Pharmacy did delivery. We put up a tent in the parking lot for pharmacy pickup, began the vaccination program for COVID vaccine when that started, and continue to do what we call test and treat for COVID by taking our mobile clinic out on the streets and going to certain spots around town. Mm-hmm. And doing healthcare, COVID testing and treating, and soon a monkeypox activity.
Which you didn't see coming at the time. That was kind of a surprise here. And that was the thing I wanted to ask you. Are we in a heightened period of infectious diseases?
Yes.
And I say that because of monkeypox, and now I'm hearing polio is making a comeback.
What we're seeing is an era of this accelerated infectious diseases activity. And there are a couple things that contribute to that. It's an intersection of air travel. You can travel any place in the world and bring back not only souvenirs, but local infections with you. That's one way that people get infected with exotic organisms like the monkeypox virus through travel to what we call endemic areas where that virus lives. Air travel, a lot of infectious diseases people talk about climate change, that climate change burning down rainforests, people living closer to jungle type areas, living closer to animals, may change the way viruses behave. Now, there are a lot of jumps in there in terms of assumptions, but people say climate change, frequent air travel, and the way viruses behave over time contribute to these kinds of things. I'll have to tell you, though, I grew up in the polio era and watched that disappear with vaccine, mm-hmm. and thought that HIV would really be my lifetime epidemic pandemic. And I was wrong. Did not expect COVID-19, this novel coronavirus. It's been around for a while, but not like this. Mm-hmm. And really was not well prepared for monkeypox either. On the other hand, if you've done managing epidemics like this in the past, there are a lot of similarities in terms of what you need to do to respond. But it does change your thinking in terms of what you do day to day, how you take care of patients, and so on.
Mm-hmm. HIV, for 1 minute, would you consider HIV a pandemic?
It still is, because it's a worldwide infectious disease. What may be more common in underdeveloped countries, poorer nations, but we still see it in the United States. In the United States, 35,000 new cases a year, 50 or more new cases in Monroe County a year. So we're still seeing it.
Have we made any strides in getting closer to finding a cure? I know that's a big question.
Actually, the cure research is moving along, albeit slowly, but there are a number of cases, a half dozen cases or so, of people who have been cured of HIV through bone marrow transplants. And it's a very complicated process, but we do have some situations where that's happened. The real advances, though, have come with treatment, that the drugs are better, easier to take, more convenient, and do the job of bringing virus down to very low levels. The good news there is if virus is low enough in your blood, people with HIV do not transmit virus, don't spread virus to other people sexually.
Okay.
So, in other words, we're beginning to see virus spread slowing down in people who are being treated. And the other new thing is what we call PrEP, pre-exposure prevention, meaning taking one pill a day or an injection every couple months to prevent HIV in somebody who's HIV negative. So we're stopping HIV, which is why people talk about ending the HIV epidemic, that we do have a lot of the tools to stop HIV virus spread. We just need to get them into the people.
That's the key right there.
Right.
Once you get more people to cooperate. Now, one thing about the COVID pandemic that we just went through, what were some of the challenges that one with HIV had to deal with COVID on top of everything?
Well, first of all, the two viruses are very different. The HIV virus is transmitted sexually because it's in blood and body fluids. The challenge with coronavirus or COVID-19 is that it's respiratory spread, so that you can spread it by being in a room you can catch it by being in a room with someone at close distance for an hour or so. The other thing is this respiratory virus evolved or mutated so that it became a little harder to catch in terms of vaccine, but easier to catch because it became more contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are with these Omicron variants. Vaccine began to change a lot of that by slowing it down, but we still have some work to do in terms of vaccinating more people and keeping them up to date, because the new booster has this old strain, original strain of COVID virus, and also has this Omicron variant in it, so it should be more effective at knocking virus down.
Fascinating, the whole epidemiology behind a virus and how it mutates and changes. I mean, we never learned this in high school, so we all got a little lesson in that these past 2 years.
Well, right. Viruses are tricky. They do what we call escape. Escape the vaccine effect, and that's why we do the same thing with flu. Influenza is change the vaccine a little bit every year so that it covers the strain of virus that's mutated and is currently circulating. The whole end game with these viruses, though, is to stop virus spread. Because they're different, the viruses are different, then we need to do it in different ways.
And like you said, we need to get more people vaccinated. How do you handle the conspiracy theorists behind the whole COVID vaccine? What's your response to that?
Well, science, number one. You have to believe in science. But the other thing is experience. And I can tell you, having lived through the polio era, where I saw polio essentially disappear with the advent of polio vaccine in the 1950s as a kid, mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for what vaccines and science can do, and I've spent my career doing just that. On the other hand, it's also helpful to understand where people are with this. So tell me a little bit about why you're hesitating here. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of concerns about vaccine safety, how the vaccines are put together, and if there are any long-term effects from those vaccines. So we talk people through it and try to get them to the next stage, which mm-hmm. is not only protecting yourself, but protecting other elderly, vulnerable relatives and protecting your children.
You're listening to Rochester Speaks. My guest is Dr. Bill Valenti of Trillium Health. Monkeypox, doctor, what is it and how did it come to be?
Monkeypox virus is a member of the family. It's called orthopox viruses that include smallpox, something called vaccinia, which is how smallpox vaccine is made with that virus. Orthopox family and also includes monkeypox and a couple others. So this is a well-known virus. We've known about this virus since 1950 when it was identified in Denmark in lab animals. So this is not a new virus. What's new about this virus is the way it's spread, because this is a virus that is spread in a certain way from animals, usually rodents, squirrels, rodents, and other like animals that are outdoors that sometimes become people's pets, another way of spreading it. But we know it as being spread from animals to people. And that's the way it's been for most of the century that we have known about it. So what's new, though, is in May of 2022, we began to see cases that were occurring maybe related to travel, but not as much animal contact. Mm-hmm. And once you get a group of these cases together, you can study them and look for things that they have in common. And what we've learned is that this virus is now being spread by close person-to-person contact. This means that anybody can get monkeypox if you have skin-to-skin contact. In other words, your skin comes in contact with the open sores of someone with monkeypox. And skin-to-skin close contact, sexual contact. Right now we're seeing it primarily in gay men who have sex with men.
Okay.
There's a small number of cases in women and a small number of cases in children throughout the world that are thought to have occurred from household contact, living in the house with someone who has monkeypox.
What are some of the symptoms that someone will first feel at the onset of it?
About a week or so before the rash, people feel sick, headache, fever, fatigue, muscle aches, those kinds of things. They may have swollen glands, lymph nodes in the neck or in the groin. Then 5 to 7 days or so after that, the rash appears. We've seen rashes in TV video that aren't quite what we're seeing in real life today.
Ah.
That this is generally not the kind of rash where people have spots all over their body. The rash is limited in clusters, smaller numbers of what we call lesions or sores.
Okay.
In the groin, around the anus, around the mouth, sometimes on the hands. But smaller numbers of those open sores. And it's the open sores that contain virus, so that if you come in contact, pretty close, intimate contact.
I see.
The shaking hands thing and washing your hands, not an issue. A sexual encounter.
Okay. So this is hard to catch. This
Correct.
Is not an airborne, like COVID.
very different than COVID. And that's the unique thing about these viruses that we've been talking about. HIV is a sexually transmitted infection because the virus is in blood, semen, body fluid.
Okay.
The COVID virus is totally respiratory, coughing, sneezing on someone in close contact. And the monkeypox virus, close skin-to-skin contact, yet another way that this virus is spread. Yeah, it's very different. It's not easy to catch. And we're, again, doing the same thing, though. It's trying to stop spread.
Yeah. Now, does monkeypox, if you do unfortunately catch it, does it clear up on its own?
It can. It takes a week or two. The interesting thing about monkeypox is that there's also a drug that is available. It still hasn't been finally approved by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, in the United States, but it's available, and we can use that to treat people, especially if people have larger numbers of these open source and more extensive rash or are sicker. Go ahead and treat them. That drug's going to become more widely available before too much longer because of this emergency declaration. The emergency health declaration kind of changes the way we can get drugs and vaccines.
I see. And you were mentioning before the interview, there is a vaccine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The vaccine for monkeypox is the big story. And that vaccine has been approved already in the United States for smallpox and monkeypox.
Yeah.
So it's available for both. The problem is it's in short supply at the moment. So we're limiting our vaccine to people who are at highest risk, and that is men who have sex with men right now. But if also if you're a laboratory worker, for example, for healthcare workers, that's coming as we get more vaccine available. The vaccine program for COVID started that way, where remember the vaccine was limited, so we gave it to the highest risk people first.
Right, I do remember
now,
that.
Now, vaccine is widely available, and it's a different story, so you can get it.
Okay.
Same thing is going to happen here, because more vaccine is being manufactured. It's manufactured in Denmark, so there's a little bit of logistics that need to take place, but that's happening.
Okay, so I think the big takeaway here, Doctor, is the public does not have to worry about this. This is not of the level of COVID.
Not at all. It's not like COVID because it's spread in a very different way. You need to have that really close personal intimate contact or in some cases household contact. Or I would also warn people though about exotic pets and imported pets. The last outbreak in the United States involved people in six states who purchased exotic animals from a distributor in Texas.
When you say exotic animal, what do you mean?
An exotic animal, in this case, it was an animal called a prairie dog.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Prairie dogs are common in the southwestern United States, not so much around here, but other people have rats from Ghana.
Okay.
Prairie dogs and other exotic animals for pets. And you know how we are with our pets.
Yes.
They have that really close contact, and that's one way to spread virus from animals to people. It's much smaller number of cases spread that way, but it's still something to at least be aware of.
Okay. So we have it under control at this point. In your opinion, yes,
we're
no?
We're getting it under control. We're still, I wouldn't say we're there yet.
Okay.
The good news is that at this point, we've seen a modest number of cases in Rochester, Monroe County, and we are vaccinating people as vaccine becomes available. We're moving vaccine into people and giving people.
And that's key.
Now,
Do you have vaccines available at Trillium Health?
We do.
Okay.
Not all the time, so people need to go to the website to set up an appointment. We're still limited by the health department that says use the limited amount of vaccine wisely, limited to the highest risk people right now, men who have sex with men.
Okay.
So we're really focusing on that group. It's what they call a ring effect. In other words, you take the people who are at highest risk, and take their contacts around them, people who may have been exposed, and vaccinate those people first. The idea is, with a limited amount of vaccine, we're trying to slow down virus spread.
Okay. Well, you're doing great work. Is there anything you'd like to add in our remaining moments, Doctor?
Yeah. This is respiratory virus season coming up.
Oh, that's right.
There is something we can do, because the most infectious virus out there, the one that's most easily spread right now, is COVID, and we're expecting flu or influenza to come up. So think about flu vaccine, and the good news is there's a COVID booster coming for the fall of 2022 that covers the Omicron variant. This mutation covers it better.
Yeah, I heard about this in the news this morning. So that's
good
news.
Stuff. That is very good news. Protect yourself, protect your family, elderly relatives, protect your kids. Wash your hands a lot.
I'm doing that quite a bit.
And take a shower after sex.
Yes, very good advice. Dr. Bill Valenti, Senior Vice President for Strategic Advancement. You're also Chief Innovator, co-founder, and staff physician of Trillium Health. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure.